to grade school with. His name was Donnie Hart. The Harts lived in Lake Wobegon for only about 4 years. They were kind of a secretive family they kept to themselves, at least that was how we saw it. So we mainly just knew their boy, who was a large boy. He's much bigger than the rest of us in the grade school. He was, I suppose, about 5.5 feet tall. He was rather heavy. He had a thatch of black hair. And he spent all 4 years in the fifth grade. He was held back in the grades, as they said, because, as we said at the time, he was slow. He was slow. And there was something different about him, too. He had a pleasant face. He had a sweet smile. But he had fear in his eyes, and for good reason. Because, since he was slow, he was an easy victim for jokes of the simplest kind. He believed anything that you told him. And so, if you said, "Donnie, your mother's calling you," he'd go home. And he'd do it again and again and again. Boys found out that even though he was large, he would not hit back if he were hit. And so, if boys were in the mood to hit somebody, why, he was the target. For some reason, he and I hung around together. I think at first because I was told to be nice to him, because he was slow. And then because I enjoyed his company. I enjoyed his company partly because he would do what I told him to do. And if I said that he had to be a cowboy so I could be an Indian, then he'd be a cowboy. Or if he had to be the bad guy, then he'd do that, though he didn't make a very good bad guy. He was too sweet. We hung around together for several years in grade school. And the more I hung around with him, the more, even though I didn't mean to, enjoyed his company. Because, unlike other children, he was not competitive. And when you were with him, he simply enjoyed your company and never was interested in having any sort of advantage. He was a sweet person, had a sweet disposition. And I missed him when they left town. And then I didn't think about him anymore until I saw him again, which was about 20 years later, here in St. Paul, where I was living, and had to go downtown one day for an appointment, I forget what. But I remember that I put on my suit, so it must have been important. Got in the car, drove to the bank, cashed a check. And when I got out of the bank, the car would not start. The starter had been grinding for a long time, and it just refused to turn over. Which shouldn't have surprised me, but it didn't put me in a very good frame of mind either. So I crossed the street. I was at University and Raymond in St. Paul. I crossed over University to catch the eastbound bus to downtown St. Paul and stood there in the doorway of an abandoned building, which might have been the old bank on the corner. There was a sign in the window that said, "For rent, commercial space, will renovate." Stood in the doorway and waited for the bus. It was a cold day and it was raining. And I noticed coming up the street a group of people whom I knew, even at a distance, were grown people and were retarded, which I could tell by the way that they walked, a kind of a loose gait and some of them shuffling, and also by the fact that they didn't move stiffly as we do. They made sudden movements toward each other. They looked like kids, except they were grown up. retarded people, and they were headed for the bus stop. Now, I've always felt uneasy around retarded people, which I'm sure is normal for those of us who aren't around them very often, and which I'm sure has to do with the fact that we feel that intelligence is the fundamental part of being human. That our minds, what we think and what we imagine, that's us, our minds. At least that's what we think. And so when we see these injured people, we feel pity for them and we feel uneasy around them. And so as they moved into my doorway, I moved out and stood a little ways away until the bus came and we lined up at the door. And then I saw him. He was there. He was one of them. It was Donnie Hart, looking much the same as when we went to school together, which amazed me to see him after all these years, but amazed me even more because I had never known that he was retarded, that he was so different from us, you see. I never realized that when we were kids. I said hello to him. I don't think he knew who I was, but we talked a little bit, and then we got on the bus. And then an amazing thing happened that I've never been able to describe to people. As the bus rumbled along, all of us towards the back, standing, holding onto the bar, the combination of meeting my old friend and the fact that they acted like children. They were teasing each other. One man was pulling a woman's pigtail. She reached around, swatted him. And the way they talked and everything. And also the smell of wet clothing and the fact that we were all on a bus. Suddenly I felt that we were all children and all on a school bus together. That it was not them, those people, and me, but it was just us. We were just us. We were just all people together. It's an amazing, ecstatic feeling, if that ever comes to you. I remember a hymn we used to sing when I was young about heaven called "There'll Be No Distinction There." But I never really felt it until I saw him on that bus. And I'm not sure what the ending of this story is. I suppose it doesn't end. It just happens now and then, or we hope for it to. But what a sweet relief to give up some of those distinctions that don't make a lot of sense to us. I got off the bus. I walked. And I've thought about the bus ever so often and imagined that it was still riding through the streets of St. Paul, and that if you saw it, you could get on it and feel that way again.